Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life.
Most of you yesterday at the print shop, if we hadn't met before, if I remember Kendall, that was her first time. Oh, she got called out in the sermon already. Now you know how my kids feel. All right. And then one of your friends came over to visit with you as well. So I got to tell you a story about her. Are you ready? They're recording this, so I should probably make it go quick. Her grandpa's name is Steve. And my dad's name is Steve. But her grandpa and my dad are two different people. But her grandma is married to my dad. What? Her grandpa, biological grandpa, passed away, and my mom passed away. And so her grandma and my dad got married about 4 years ago. So I don't know, does that make her a step niece, I guess? Anyway, wow, that just, you weren't ready for that this morning. Psalm, we're going to be looking at Psalm 126 this morning, and I lost my voice a while back, and I've gained my voice back, and I've been very careful this week with how much I've been speaking, and so we're going to see how this goes with me doing Sunday school and morning service, and then hopefully I can rest it between that and the evening service. Normally, I like to get with people and talk and visit, and so I apologize if I seem a little distant just from that respect to try to save my voice for the day, and then next week hopefully I'll be able to rest it as well, and then I'll be back to normal, I hope. This morning I want to talk about something very, very simple. You'll find that as I speak that I try to keep things simple and practical. That's not always good or bad, it just is what it is. And Psalm 126 is where we get the name of our ministry from, and so we'll look at that this morning, and it'll make these messages will tie together as we look through the scriptures at God's word. So Psalm 126 and verse 5 says, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." You'll notice as I talk about the Bible, as I talk about the Word of God, that we'll be talking about the seed. Being born and raised in Wisconsin, just outside of Oshkosh, in the farm community of Amro, I've spent some time working on farms and planting and harvesting, and for some reason, my job was always to be up in the haymow throwing hay. If you've never baled hay on a hot July day, humid day, my boys once in a while complain about the hard work they're doing. And I'm like, you're inside an air-conditioned building. It doesn't matter. It's not hard. It doesn't matter what you're doing. And I work inside an air-conditioned building now, so I'm not making fun of those that do. I certainly understand it and appreciate being able to work inside an air-conditioned building. But being on a farm, I have a tendency to focus more on the things that the Bible brings out with farming. So what I want to look at this morning in brief as we talk about God's Word, Luke 8 and verse 11, it talks about the planting the seed, and it says, and the seed is the Word of God. And so that'll be our focus as we talk about this. But if I could give you a title, which I did for the sake of broadcasting it, the title today would be very simply this: Bearing Precious. Anybody got any idea what the seed? Now, I'm not a deep theologian like your pastor, so my sermons become pretty simple. And if I say my first thought or my first point is bearing, what do you think the second one will be? Precious. And the third one will be seed. Excuse me a minute. And so, this will go pretty quick. So let's talk about bearing. Before we do that, let's pray. Lord, we do love you. We thank you for this day. Guide us and direct us. Our days are full. Lord, there's a lot of activity going on. Not all those activities are bad, but Lord, it just seems like there's just stuff going on everywhere. We already talked about and kind of made fun of the whole Packers game. Lord, I enjoy a good football game, but Lord, it's good that we can get in your house and talk about the things of God. And we pray now that you would guide us as we talk about those things, that we could be focused on those things. God, guide us and direct us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. First thing I want to talk about, as I mentioned, is bearing. Webster's 1828 says that is supporting, carrying, or producing. The idea of supporting God's word, or bearing God's word, or producing God's word, of getting God's word out. Pastor was sharing just a little while ago in his office about the distribution of scriptures in the area. And we'll talk about that need to sow a little bit more, but that idea of bearing the precious seed, of carrying the seed to the lost and dying world. The idea of the scriptures that you worked on yesterday in Farsi are going to Iran. What the people of Iran need is to not have a dictator for a government, right? What they need is freedom. What they need is, but what they need more than that is God's word. What they need more than that is to know that God has something for them beyond today. What a miserable life we would live if we just simply lived, went to work, fed our families, and died. That's what the animals do. That's what they do. And I say, I don't know, I take pretty good care of my cat. My cat lives a pretty good life. Okay, fair enough. But the idea that there's something beyond this life, the idea that the Bible teaches us, and let me say this, in the day and age we live, I've never seen the Word of God under attack in the United States like I do now. Well, that's not what the Bible says. You know, the Bible was just written by a bunch of men. It goes on and on and on. And let me say, if we spend some time studying the Word of God and the history of the Word of God and the power of the Word of God, it's not just simply a book written by a bunch of men. Because if it was, it wouldn't make sense if you look at the history of it. Why would David write about his sins? If I'm writing a book about me, guess what I'm going to forget to put in that book? Amen. I'm not going to tell you how I failed my wife or my children or how I did this stupid thing. I'm going to tell you how I'm the greatest person to ever live, and you should all live like me. No, you take David, a man after God's own heart, but he showed his sin. God had him write that down because God had him write that down. So as we talk about burying the precious seed, I want to ask you to keep some things in mind. One of the most simple ways that I believe that we can bear God's word, one of the simple ways we can help in our church, one of the simple ways we can help a ministry like ours, one of the simple ways we can help our missionaries, and it's something that we can all do. See, I grew up at Wildwood. I'll share my testimony in the morning service, but I grew up at Wildwood, and you had people from all different backgrounds, and you had these people that were good soul winners. You had these people that were good preachers or good theologians or good whatever, and you go, man, I can never attain to that. But then I started realizing some of the people of our church that actually helped our church the most were the prayer warriors. Amen. All of us can pray. Brother, it gets really bad, the winters in Wisconsin. I have a hard time making it out to church. The older I get, the more I understand that. I understand that sometimes it's difficult just to get up in the morning and get moving. And I don't mean that because I got a lot of health problems, but we can all pray. Pastor was mentioning that he's on a couple occasions had to be laid out flat on his back in a hospital bed and he couldn't move. Wow, I've never had that happen to me. But although he couldn't come and work in the print shop, or he couldn't even come and preach, or he could still pray. And so I want to encourage you, when missionaries give out prayer cards, we genuinely need you to pray for us. We genuinely need you to pray for our ministry. A one-legged school teacher from Scotland came to Hudson Taylor to offer himself to serve in China. And Hudson Taylor says, with only one leg, why do you think of going as a missionary? And George Scott said, I don't see those with two legs going. Amen. Sometimes we look at reasons not to serve God. We look at the excuses. I wish you would have known me when I was a young person. Very quiet, very shy, very backwards. And it became easy when my parents brought us into the print shop and said to Brother Hoffman, hey, is there something Tim can do to help? And he just said, hey, here's some boxes and put some tape on the back. That was right up my alley. I can put tape on the back of boxes all day. I'm actually pretty good at that. I don't try to brag on myself, but I can put tape on the back of a box. I'm a skilled laborer in that. I've got 30-some years of practice with that. If I had to fill out a job application, I'd put that on my job application. I'm really good at putting tape on the back of a box. But you know the thing about putting tape on the back of a box? It's not really difficult. It's really not. I mean, I was 13 years old, and I was pretty good at it within the first couple strands. But that led from one thing to the next. But I also realized that if we never put tape on the back of the box, you would never put scriptures in the box. and those boxes would never go to where they were meant to go. And so my challenge for you, the first, as we look at the bearing, is find your space, your place you can, and do your part. Excuse me. Find your place to do your part in carrying out the Word of God. As we take the message out, I was challenged recently by an older man with the idea of the Lord coming back. Of course, we've seen a lot of things happen in our world, in our country recently. And I believe the Lord is coming back soon, although the world has gone through some pretty turbulent times over the years. But one of the things that he challenged us with is when we're all taken out in the rapture, the only thing that'll be left behind for a witness is the Word of God. Why are we so excited? I know eventually the 144,000 chosen and all that, and I'm not trying to get into those things. But we know that there'll be those, and we've seen this through the pandemic. We've seen those that have sought truth and whatever that means in their world. But we've seen it in our own churches. We've seen it as we pass out scripture. There are those that seek. Now, there'll be those that just believe whatever they're told as far as what happened to the Christians and so on. But there'll be those that are seeking the truth. There'll be those that are looking for, what happened to all these people? All those weirdos that used to tell me about Jesus all the time, those Jesus freaks, what happened to them? Maybe there's something to it. And to have the Word of God as we bear that precious seat. And I want to continue on. As we look at these things, Psalm 68:11 says, "The Lord gave the word, and great was the company of those that published it." And I want to challenge you with the idea, as we publish or proclaim the Word of God to the lost and dying world, that we realize it's a lost and dying world. Now, I mentioned precious, and we're going to focus on this a little bit more here in the morning service, so I won't spend a lot of time on this particular thought, how precious God's word is, but the idea of it in the Webster's 1828 by definition is it's of great price, it's costly, it's of great value, and a great value or highly valued, much esteemed. And my question for you today is, how precious is God's word to you? How precious is God's word? I'm gonna throw some numbers out, and again, I'll use them here in the morning service to follow. But approximately 8 billion people alive today. Of those 8 billion people that are alive today, 75%, almost 6 billion people, don't have a Bible. Now, those things are kind of all over the place when you ask me, well, why don't they have a Bible? Well, you know, we're working on scriptures for Iran right now. I think we all understand why people in Iran don't have the Word of God. It's dangerous for them to have it. The people that get these scriptures are going to get in trouble if they get caught. We understand that, whatever that trouble means exactly. But also, you go into the last container we shipped was to Malawi, Africa. The country is wide open to the gospel. Their president is proclaims to be a Christian man and seems to be. They are allowed to take scriptures into the public schools and pass them out. In fact, the missionary we work with there was given permission to go into some of the public schools. And many of the public schools have a class called Bible Knowledge Class. That Bible Knowledge Class, the teachers actually teach the Bible in the public schools to the kids. There's one problem with that. They don't have Bibles. Neither the teachers nor the kids. So how do we solve that problem? Well, we get them Bibles. That's what we do. And so we have a video. You can check it out on our Facebook page. We have a video of them passing out scriptures in the public schools of Malawi. Now, many of the people in Malawi don't have a Bible. It's not because the government says they can't have one or because they get in trouble with one for having one. It's because they're an extremely poor country, and they can barely feed their family from day to day. And a Bible cost in their wages costs about a month's wage. So they go, well, I can barely feed my family from day to day. I certainly can't afford this Bible. I can't give up a month's wage to buy a Bible. So what do I do? Now, to be fair, I have 6 boys. I would probably feed my family if that was the choices I had to make. And so by talking about our ministry, but by talking about how precious God's word is, we realize there's people all over that don't have God's word. In Psalm 138 and verse 2, it says, I will worship towards thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Psalm chapter 119, if you've never read it through, it's funny, I say it's a fairly long read. It's not that long of a read if you just take some time to read it. But the whole passage talks about the statutes of God, the word of God, and so on, in every verse. And God esteems his word very highly. In Psalm 119 and verse 16, it says, I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy words. Luke 4 and verse 4 says, And Jesus answered him, saying, and this is Jesus talking to Satan, It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. How are we to live our lives? By the word of God. Listen, I get myself in trouble because I have opinions on politics, okay? I do. And I'm not going to try stepping on anything or saying anything, but sometimes as Christians we get so wrapped up in the political agenda that we have going on. I don't know who's going to win midterm elections this year. I don't know. I don't know who the next president of the United States of America is going to be. I don't know. I have opinions on it. I know what I would like to see happen. I know where I would like to see things. Righteousness exalteth the nation. Sin is a reproach to any nation. But I do know this, that God's word is what our country was founded on, no matter what they're trying to do to revise our history. And let me be a little careful here as Christians. Sometimes people say to us, well, separation of church and state. Okay. Well, I read in my Bible, the Bible clearly defines what a marriage is. So the state needs to step out of that and let the church define that, because that's who's always defined what a marriage is. The state has zero problem meddling in our business, if I can put it that way. And I'm not part of my notes. I'm not trying to get into politics again. But sometimes as Christians, we let the world dictate to us righteousness, holiness, and godliness. That's none of their business. That's our wheelhouse. That's our business. And the reason we know it's our business is because of the word of God. So don't ever let anybody say, well, you Christians, thus saith the Lord. Hey, I'm gonna delve into this a little bit. We have six children. We've had some miscarriages. A child is a child from conception on. Amen. Not because that's my opinion. Read your Bible, it's very clear. Well, I don't think we should be talking about women's rights. No. That's a bunch of secular stuff. The Bible makes it clear the role of a man, the role of a woman, life, death, all those things are answered right here in the Bible. It's not a big, is it constitutional or isn't it constitutional? I'm an American and I'm proud to be an American, but you know what's more important to me than the Constitution of the United States of America? The Bible. The Bible. So I don't care what some Supreme Court justice says at the end of the day. Now, I'm big on the Constitution. I didn't mean to go down that rabbit trail too much, other than to say we have to refocus on the Word of God. Amen. It's the Word of God. 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 And we've gotten our focus so much off of what the Bible says as a society. And that's where we need to be refocused. Now, again, I'm not promoting anybody. I'm not running for a public office. I'm not trying to do any of that kind of stuff other than say focus on the Word of God. Now, we talked about bearing precious seed, and I'm actually moving through this fairly quickly, but I'm going to spend a little bit of time on the last part, and that is the seed. That is the seed. And we're going to talk about the seed, the Word of God today, as we talk about planting that seed. It's important that we plant the seed, the Word of God, in our lives. I love when I hear a preacher get up, and I can't do this only to an extent, and I wish I would have, especially when I was younger, learned to do this more. But when a preacher gets up and he's talking and he just starts quoting scripture. Unfortunately, in a lot of preaching today, there is a Bible verse or a passage, and then we step away from the scriptures, but it's our job to preach the word, the seed. If you look at Luke chapter 8, let's turn over to Luke chapter 8 since... Since I'm preaching on looking in the Word of God, we probably should look in the Word of God a little more. Amen. Luke chapter 8. It says in Luke chapter 8 and verse 4, it says, And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." And the disciples asked him, saying, "What might this parable be?" And he said unto you, "It is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand." Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. I quoted that scripture earlier today. What I want to encourage, what I want to point out in this is, in Wisconsin in particular, we often will hear the term the land of the frozen chosen. Maybe you've heard that term before, but churches sometimes struggle along. Faithfulness to church, you know, you go down south and you can't throw a stone without hitting a Baptist church, and so on and so forth. But it goes on, it tells us to plant this seed. And it tells us, hey, sometimes you're going to get on some pretty stony ground and it's not going to grow well. And sometimes you're going to plant it and then the birds are going to come along and they're going to eat it. And then sometimes you're going to get on pretty fertile ground, and that fertile ground, you'll see it grow. And it doesn't really go on to explain it any more than this here. And if you've ever planted a garden, or if you've ever planted anything, and you've ever worked the soil, and you've ever dug places, there is soil that's better than others. But they all have their problems. If you get to the south side of Oshkosh, where we lived for a little while, it's got a lot of clay in the ground. It's a lot to work it up. It's a lot to break that ground up. Now, that ground's okay because it retains moisture quite a bit. So if you go through a little bit of a drier year, you're okay. We live in Omro, and there's just a little bit of sand in the dirt, and that actually helps break the ground up. It makes it easier to till. And for the most part, it's a pretty good dirt, unless you have a really dry year, because it doesn't retain that moisture. You continue going west of Omro, and you get out to Wautoma area and so on. That gets to be pretty sandy ground. Now, that's okay ground, because it's real easy to till up. And if you have a real wet year, you'll be okay. But if you have a dry year, that's when they bring in the big irrigators to make sure we just soak that up. And it's kind of the same in our lives when we're planting the seed of God's word. There are those in Christianity that need to be fed by the pastor, by others on a regular basis. They soak it up, but it doesn't stay very long. And then there are those that love to study God's word, and they just soak it in and soak it in and soak it in. But as we plant this seed in our life, we need to remember it's a seed. One of the problems we have in our society is we're used to instant gratification. If I send somebody a text right now and they don't answer me in 35 seconds, that's probably because they're mad at me. I don't know. I get emails and texts on Sunday. Sunday is just a big day when you're in the ministry. And it's weird because I get them. I've traveled the country and the world, but I get them from different parts of the country, and then I don't answer because I'm in the pulpit. And they're like, "Hey, brother, you all right?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I've been in the pulpit all day. I don't have a chance to respond to you on these various things." My point being with the seed is we need to let it have time to grow. We need to have time to grow in our lives. We would like to think that the seed, we'd like to think that God's word would immediately have effects. Listen, I read in the book of Revelation, and now I understand everything about the end times. Well, you're doing better than most, because most people have spent their whole life reading Revelation, and the more they read about the book of Revelation, the less they know about the end times. They go, "Oh, wow, I don't know. But it's the same thing in the practical everyday. My wife and I will be married for 22 years this year. Do you know how I know that? Because the year is 2022. See? I can't possibly be as dumb as I look. I got married in 2000 because I knew there would come a year that I'd been married for 22 years. And I go, "Man, did I get married in 99 or 2000? No, I got married in 2000. So whatever year it is, August 12th or whatever year it is, that's how long I've been married. I don't even know where I was going with that. But what I found is the longer that I've been married, the more I need the Word of God to help me to be a better husband. I have a picture on my phone every time I open my home screen is our wedding picture. And there's my bride. She was 20 years old. She's been married to me longer than she was alive before we got married. But you know, she's got different needs today than she had 22 years ago. I have six boys. We have six boys, my wife and I. And when we had the first one, I had it figured out. I knew how to be the perfect parent. He was a good boy. He did what he was supposed to do. He didn't sleep through the night, unfortunately, but I did. My wife did, and I slept through the night. We had our second son, and he was completely different than our first son. Just different, not bad, just different. Had to learn some things. We had son number three and son number four, and three, four, and five are sitting here right now. And our third son, he'll be 15 here on Wednesday, and he's pretty quiet and pretty chilled. Our fourth son, he's pretty quiet. I'm like, this is so easy. I've got being the dad of four boys, figured out. And then along comes Xavier, number five. And you would have thought I'd never met a boy before. He has all four boys combined at the same time. I'm thankful for the Word of God. I'm thankful that the Bible is there, that I can look. This isn't the first time this kind of stuff has happened to anybody. We need to be planting the seed of God's Word in our life. We're going to reference these passages later, but 1 Peter 1 and verse 23 says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. John 6 and verse 63 says, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. God's word, and we're going to talk about this through the day, God's word is alive. It's a seed that needs to be planted in our lives. And some people will grow exponentially. Some people will grow what doesn't seem exponentially. Maybe they're just the faithful person to church every Sunday. They're involved in the things of God. But we need to be planting that seed in our life. I'm gonna start to wrap things up here in my conclusion. And I want to say this, two things as I wrap up. Number one, there's a story of a man that was faithful to church for many years, and then one day he just stopped showing up at church. So after a while, pastor went over and visited him. He says, hey, you know, you've been faithful all these years, and now you're just not coming to church. Is there something wrong? Is there something I can help you with? And the man said, you know, I was sitting in church last time I was there and thinking about your sermon and thinking about what you had preached the week before that, and I couldn't remember it. Now, the man was older, but he wasn't losing his mind or anything like that. He said, so I got to thinking about your sermons before that and previous sermons and so on. He said, I couldn't remember much of what you had preached over all these years of being my pastor. He goes, sure, I remember some of your Christmas maybe and some of your Easter and some of your different special events. He goes, but I don't remember those things. And the pastor, a little older, wiser man, sat and thought for a minute, contemplated what the gentleman was telling him. And he goes, you know, my wife and I, we've been married for some years. This is the pastor speaking. And I don't remember what she made me for dinner last week. He goes, I got to thinking, I don't really remember much of what she's made me for meals. I mean, she makes my favorite dish on my birthday and from time to time, and she makes a real good, you know, whatever for a meal. But I don't remember just the day-to-day of what she feeds me. But then he goes on and he says, but if it wasn't for each and every one of those meals, I wouldn't be here today. And sometimes when we're reading the Bible, when we're studying the Bible, when we're trying to glean some things from the Bible, when we come to church and we hear preaching, we don't always get that, I'm going to say light bulb or aha moment, like, wow, I've never seen that in my Bible before. But that being constantly being fed the Word of God, reading the Word of God, studying the Word of God, coming to church and hearing the Word of God, those things are what make the difference in our lives. Why do I think it's so important to be faithful to church? Because you never know what you're going to miss when you miss a service. I get, especially in the last couple of years, we're a little more hesitant, and there's things that come up in life. Listen, we've got six kids. It happens. I get it. But it shouldn't be our agenda to see how we can skip church. hey, things come up and you can't make it, but don't look for reasons not to make it to church, okay? Listen, a bunch of Wisconsin cheesehead nutcases made it to a game last night. It was just a football game, all right? I'm not against the Green Bay Packers. I'm for them. I wish they would have won, but they didn't, so life goes on. You sound bitter, Tim. No, I didn't even watch the game, so I can see how much of a Packer fan I am. But let me close with this. Let me close with this statement, and hopefully it'll be an encouragement to you. And this was written, unknown author said that this book, talking about the Bible, is the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, and the happiness of believers. Its doctrines are holy, its precepts are binding, its histories are true, and its decisions are immutable. Read it to be wise, believe it to be safe, practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, and comfort to cheer you. It is the traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, and the Christian's character. Excuse me. Here, paradise is restored, heaven opened, and the gates of hell disclosed. Christ is the grand subject, our good its design, and the glory of God its end. It should fill the memory, rule the heart, and guide the feet. Read it slowly, frequently, prayerfully. It is a mine of wealth, a paradise of glory, and a river of pleasure. Follow its precepts, and it will lead you to Calvary, to the empty tomb, to a resurrected life in Christ. Yes, to glory itself for eternity.
Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you could give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.